Hello. Hello, good morning, everyone. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just want to come before you this morning. We don't want to give you our first fruits, Lord God, of our time, of our minds, Lord God, and that we just want to open our hearts to your word and what you have for us this morning, that is going to strengthen us, that is going to give us wisdom on how to conduct our day for today. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's sharing is from Isaiah 55, 1 to 3. Isaiah 55, 1 to 3. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Amen. So in my last AMP sharing, we looked at Ephesians 5, 15 to 18, and I shared some thoughts about not wanting to waste time and kind of making the most of my life as I'm approaching 40 next year. And in those verses, we saw that we are making the best use of time, i.e. doing things that are worthwhile when we understand what the will of the Lord is and walk accordingly. So in other words, when we are wise, we're doing the right thing at the right time, not wasting any effort, resources, and thus time. However, in contrast, when we are not wise, i.e. we're being fools, it means that we are not understanding and thus not walking in accordance with the will of the Lord. And the result of this is that we are wasting our time and resources. So you can go back to Ephesians 5, 15 to 18 to check those verses out yourself in your own time. So in connection with this theme, I wanted to explore a little bit more about what this actually means practically. So as a typical Hong Konger, we're about efficiency and just, you know, we just want to spring into action. So what does it mean in reality? So let's look at these verses more closely. In verse 1, it says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. So I think the first thing to note is that everyone is invited to come to the waters. However, there's a qualification, and that is they must be thirsty. They must thirst. They must want it. They must be aware, firstly, that they are thirsty and that there's something lacking in their lives, that what they have tried to fill it with doesn't really satisfy, and that they are still thirsty, that they want more for their soul. The person who has no sense of need, no sense of uneasiness about their souls, is not invited to the waters. Indeed, they won't even come to the waters even if they're invited because they simply don't have that need. They would probably simply say, oh, I'm not thirsty, so I don't need this water now. Thank you. But for those who are thirsty, who labor, and who are heavy laden, God tells them to come to the waters. And we can cross-reference this with the Samaritan woman whom Jesus meets at the well in John 4, 13 to 15. It says, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And I also want to take note that, you know, this waters that Isaiah is talking about is not just some like small, scarce puddle or pond that God is telling us to come. It is waters. It suggests that there's an abundance and that you can drink to your heart's content. It's like it's not going to run out. And then the next line, it says, then he says, those who has no money can come buy and eat. And then later on, it says, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. this sounds like a strange kind of buying, because if you don't have money, to pay for something, and if there's without, and if it's without price, is that still really something that is bought? Surely it's just something that's purely received. But I think there is a particular intention when the author puts it that way, and I think it implies a few things. First is that the living waters and the food that satisfies cannot be bought with money. It is so valuable that no price can be set upon it. And if there were a price, you wouldn't be able to pay for it. The second thing is, he who offers this living water and the food that satisfies actually has no need for anything that we can offer him. This means that we don't have to get our lives in order. No amount of righteous deed can get us this living water because he doesn't need it, and neither is it enough to pay for it. But Isaiah insists that it is bought, which implies probably that someone else had already paid for it. As we know, the living water is free for us, but it's not free for God. We have access to this because Christ has paid for it with his life. From the verses, I also noted that the writer is also very enthusiastic in telling people to just come and receive. He's like, you know, exclamation mark and everything. So even though this living food and water was bought by Christ's blood, like, he doesn't actually hold on to it, like, you know, and gives it out scarcely because it's so precious. Like, oh, I use my blood to pay for this, so you better use it wisely, you know? Like, I'm only give you a portion of it or I'm going to ration it. No, he's like, come and drink. There's plenty of it. Everyone is invited. And I'm just really, you know, on meditating this, I'm just quite overwhelmed with how it is just God's pure joy to give us this food and water and how sacrificial he is. But we must remember that even though it's free for us, in that it costs nothing on our part, we still have to do something to get this. Firstly, we have to be thirsty, in that we need to be aware that we need it. And two, we need to come to God, i.e. we need to get our butts off the couch. As it says in Psalm 81:10, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. So even if you want God to fill you, you still need to open up your mouth for him to do so. He's not going to force feed you. There's still some action on our part. And he doesn't just give water that quenches your thirst, but he gives wine and milk, as it says in the next part. Something that's more luxurious, milk that nourishes the body and wine that makes the heart glad. When we come to the waters, we expect plain water that quenches our thirst, but God always exceeds our expectations and knows exactly what we need. We find out that there's more after our basic needs are met. We normally think that, oh God, if you just help me do this one thing, then all will be fine. But God actually sees more in terms of the circumstances and more in our heart. And it is in his Father's heart to give us extravagantly. So have you ever experienced a time when you needed God to quench your thirst, maybe just fulfill one need, but he exceeded your expectations and gave you more? I have a recent example about 2 weeks ago when we invited Lo Yi and Eva. So they are the couple who felt called to start the Mandarin service at SP. We invited them to our house church. I thought it would be a good idea for us to hear from them, hear their journey, and basically like to inspire us. And I wasn't really expecting much, just like being really inspired and wowing at what God's doing in their lives. But then when we got to prayer time, the Holy Spirit really showed up powerfully. We had a house church member who's a pre-believer, and he like was just experiencing God and just really felt like God was speaking to him because he had some kind of blockage that, you know, he couldn't really experience God, but he really experienced God that night. And for myself, I was having a cold and was expecting some, you know, standard prayer for healing. But I ended up being slain in the spirit and experiencing God's presence and his love so fully. I actually, in that whole experience, I just felt his, like, this warm sunlight that just covered my whole body, and it was just so nourishing for my body, heart, and soul. So that night, God definitely didn't just quench our thirst and definitely gave us this wine and milk that was very much needed. So he doesn't just care about our basic needs, but he also takes care of us physically and spiritually, so thus giving us this milk that nourishes our body and wine that revives the spirit. So moving on to verse 2, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. I think these are very sobering questions for me. And it's the verse that keeps ringing in my mind as I think back to whether I'm making the best use of my time and making, you know, the most of every opportunity. How often do we spend our money on things that is not bread? For example, more entertainment subscription, escaping through TV, doom scrolling on YouTube, yoga retreats, expensive holidays, materialism, etc. And how often do we work for things that maybe temporarily satisfies us and then quickly leaves us with a void, like a job promotion, status, wealth, etc.? Not that these things are inherently a bad thing, but that if we use these things to fill our souls, then we would have labored for nothing. These are not bread. It's not proper food or suitable nourishment for the soul. They don't give you proper contentment or solid comfort. So how do we eat and work for food that satisfies us and not waste time? Isaiah implores us to first listen diligently. This implies that it takes time and effort and attention to listen carefully to what God is saying. We then must eat what is good. This requires some discernment on what good food is. And after discerning, you are to eat that. Practically, for myself, I would see this as what is God pointing to me at the time? What Bible verses is he using to speak to me, and that I am to dwell, meditate, and eat that? I think Pastor Sunhee, in her sermon, when she was sharing for us being anchored into God's word, one of the things that she does is she reads a passage every day, and then she asks God, God, what are you trying to speak to me? And she tries to look for the word that pops out to her. So that's another thing, like another way to eat the good food that is rich. And the third thing is to delight yourselves in rich food, to enjoy the word of God for you. Chew on it, savor it, meditate it. Makes your hearts be glad with it. So next, we're moving on to the last verse, verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Whilst the food and water that satisfies us is free for us, we can't just sit there and expect it to just fall on our laps. There are some active steps that we have to take. We need to incline our ears towards God and go to him. So this probably explains why, you know, like two people can hear the same sermon message whereby one really feels like that God has really spoken to them, but another person might be like, oh, no, not really. He didn't really speak to me. Maybe because one person actually inclined his ear to try to listen through that person's words what God is really saying to them. And the other person just merely, you know, was just listening to the words of the speaker and just simply think, oh, how does this apply to me? So when we listen carefully, diligently to God and eat the food that satisfies and drink the water that quenches our thirst, this is not just about satisfying our needs here on earth, but it carries on to eternal life. Hence, it says that your soul may live. So it doesn't have an implication just for the now. So going back to my intention of using my time and resources wisely, so that I make the most of every opportunity, one question I should ask myself is the one in verse 2. Am I spending my money on that which is not bread? Am I laboring for that which does not satisfy? I think these are good guiding questions whenever we have to make like a major life decision, like maybe making a huge purchase or changing jobs or moving countries, etc. Jesus asks us in John 6:27, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. So are we doing something that that merely satisfies our flesh, or are we doing this in accordance with God's will? I think if the answer is the latter, for example, you're changing jobs because you felt God telling you to, moving countries because it's God's will, then I think we can take comfort that we are satisfied by God and not that particular object. Of course, if what God is asking you to do is completely aligned with what you want, then that's perfect. So as I invite Matt to come up to lead us in a song of worship, so as we go into this time of worship, perhaps we could all reflect on these verses. Are we spending our resources, including time, money, strength, on that which is not bread? Are we laboring for something that doesn't satisfy? If God is convicting you, he says, Listen diligently to me. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come buy, eat. Christ has already paid for it already, so you don't need to pay for it with your righteous works, with how many times you've served, with how many QTs you've done, with how many times you've prayed today. That's not enough to pay for it anyway, and he doesn't need it. So only the blood of Jesus can earn you this bread that satisfies and water that quenches thirst. So go on and thank Jesus and have a feast.
Thank you.
Yes, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we often overlook this bread that satisfies and this water that quenches thirst, and we think that it's always available to us, and we take it for granted, Lord God. Father God, Lord, I just really pray that as we meditate on these verses, if there's any areas in our lives where, you know, we're laboring for nothing, we are filling our soul with a certain food that doesn't satisfy, Lord God, I pray for the Holy Spirit to convict us and to redirect our attention to you, Lord God, who has given us this living water. Thank you, Lord God, for the blood of Christ, Lord God, that spilled out for us so that we can have access to this. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's come forward for a time of community prayer.